My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. Is there a commonality of experience between UFO, UAPs, psychic phenomenon, near-death experiences, reincarnation, and spirit communication? Would an understanding of this bring us closer to understanding the mind of God? My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Ray Hernandez, says that all of these experiences encompass the contact modalities. Ray Hernandez is director of the Consciousness and Contact Research Institute and lead author, researcher of Beyond UFOs, The Science of Consciousness and Contact with Non-Human Intelligence, and A Greater Reality, The New Paradigm of Non-Local Consciousness, the Paranormal, and the Contact Modalities. His website is agreaterreality.com, and he joins me this week to discuss his personal experiences, research, and latest book, The Mind of God, a Spiritual Virtual Reality Model of Consciousness and the Contact Modalities. Please join me in welcoming back to Destination Unlimited, Ray Hernandez. Welcome back, Ray.
Thank you for the invitation.
Ray, we first interviewed you on this program in the fall of 2021 about the release of the book, A Greater Reality, The New Paradigm of Non-Local Consciousness, The Paranormal, and Contact Modalities. For our listeners meeting you for the first time, please share your path and interests prior to the event that changed your life in 2012.
Before March of 2012, I had zero interest in any topics associated with the paranormal, with UFOs, with near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, ghosts and spirits, the topic of consciousness, etc. I had previously gone to Cornell University for a master's degree. I then went to get a PhD at the University of California, Berkeley. And then later on, I became an attorney. So everyone that had an interest in these topics were all kooks. So, and then in March of 2012, March 4th of 2012, my wife and I had a remarkable experience in our living room, where our dog that was totally paralyzed, my wife had been praying all night for a miracle. And me, as the good atheist I was back then, I said, pray all you want, nothing's going to happen. And then lo and behold, the next day in the morning, an energy being appeared in our living room, put me to sleep. My wife disappeared right in front of me with our dog and controlled my thoughts, in the sense that I didn't care what I was watching. I didn't care that my wife disappeared, the dog disappeared. And then I was put to sleep. And then when I woke up about an hour later, my wife looked down and she started screaming, the angels cured her, the angels cured her. And the dog was running around the entire living room, completely healed. And this is a dog that we were going to be euthanizing later that afternoon because she became totally paralyzed the night before. So we actually had an appointment with our vet to euthanize her. And so approximately a month and a half later, my wife saw outside our house a huge, gigantic UAP or UFO, whatever you might want to call it. I call it a consciousness aerial phenomenon, CAP, for very specific and complicated reasons. And she saw this object that was huge. So that was the first time I was able to identify that this was possibly UFO related. And then she began to call down these objects very frequently at will. And then she would also see these different types of beings as well. And then 6 months after this initial experience, I decided to try to call down a UAP, UFO, what I call a consciousness aerial phenomenon. And within 15 minutes, it appeared, and it was a huge object, the size of a small football stadium, that was about 100 meters in height, about 600 meters in width, and it was only 30 feet above me. And that was seen by my daughter, who was 10 years old at that time, and three adults that were friends of mine. So five people saw this big, gigantic object. There was telepathic communication that took place. That was when I realized that what I was watching was actually a holographic projection, and that this intelligence was able to retrieve prior memories of communications I had with my daughter, was able to re-scramble it, and I was able to hear a telepathic message voice of my daughter. Daddy, next time you guys see a UFO, you call me, all right? Don't forget. And I'd never talked to my daughter about UFOs before this, but yet that's what I heard in my mind after I called this object down. And then I immediately went over, I yelled out the window for my daughter to come outside, which she did, and that's how she began to see it. So it was after that experience that I began to have almost 2 years of nonstop diverse paranormal experiences, including out-of-body experiences, seeing different types of physical entities, telepathic communications, etc. So these experiences actually was an orchestrated event. I won't go into all those details. It's just too lengthy. I do describe it in my book, which I'm giving away for free. The book titled The Mind of God, A Spiritual Virtual Reality Model of Consciousness and the Contact Modalities.
And how many listeners get that book for free?
Anyone that sends me an email. And my email is info@agreaterreality.com. So it's info@agreaterreality.com. Yeah, and I'll send that book to anyone for free, the Mind of God.
And thank you for that very generous offer. That's wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We'll be touching upon that a little bit later, but I want to go into a few of the things that you talked about. Yeah. First of all, that initial experience with the energy being that healed your dog. What was that energy being like?
Okay, I'll tell you what it looked like. I didn't have any communication with it. It was basically floating 4 feet off the ground. It was rectangular in shape, but it didn't have any hard edges because it was pure energy. It was multiple colors, as if you had all these different watercolors and you squirted it into your bathtub, and then you swished it around with your hand, and it was all waving all around. That's what it looked like. It was transparent. The size was basically about a foot in height and about 2.5 feet in width. So that's what it looked like. And as I said before, I didn't care that my wife disappeared. My dog disappeared in front of me. I didn't care that I was watching that object, this intelligence in front of me. It's like all those thoughts of rationality were completely wiped away.
You had shared that you were a non-believer of any kind. You called yourself an atheist, and you said that your wife was praying, and she responded that this was an angelic being. What was your reaction to that?
Well, I had always thought up until then that this whole topic of angelic beings was associated with the Bible. I was always very dismissive of religion and the Bible. And I kind of still am, right? Because these experiences have nothing to do with the Bible and standardized religion. These are much more complicated phenomena. But my wife was a devout Catholic, and she still is. So everything that she sees, all of her experiences, are filtered through the religious Catholic lens. Like, for example, the first day that she had seen that UFO, she said, "Oh, my angels came to visit me. They came in a beautiful angelic craft and had stained glass windows just like our church." So then when I asked her to draw it, she drew this huge cylinder, commonly called a UFO, and it had colors at the edges of it. And so I guess, you know, my wife has always seen these things from a Catholic perspective.
Now, you've labeled these, you came up with the term CAP. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, CAP is consciousness aerial phenomenon. This is a very, very lengthy and complicated discussion to discuss that. So what I will tell individuals is send me an email. I'll send you my book. In my book, I go into details of the consciousness aspect of ufology. One thing that people need to understand, there's literally thousands of people all over the world that are calling down these objects. And it's the term is commonly called CE5. I prefer the term coined by Dr. Joseph Burks, human initiated contact experiences. And in my case, I've tried to call down these objects five times, and four times they appeared. And twice there were witnesses when this occurred, many witnesses. And they usually appear within 15 minutes. So here you are making a request, and the way it's done through your mind. And it has to be done with a lot of love and intention behind it. So this intelligence picks up your consciousness, your request to see them. And usually, at least in my case, within 15 minutes, they appear. And they appear very physically. Now, that first evening is when I recognized that these were holographic projections, because the first object that I saw was hundreds of oblong streaks of light that formed the whole skeleton of this object. And inside was all this white energy fluctuating. And so when my daughter and I were already out there, my friend and his wife and their 17-year-old daughter came. They immediately said, "Ray, what is that?" I said, "You know what it is." I said, and they said, "No, no, it can't be. It can't be." So then they tried to explain it away. And then after like 2 minutes, I just started laughing because I didn't want to tell them that I had called down this object. It would have, you know, blown them away even more. And so in my mind, I communicated with this intelligence and I said, "You better come up with something better than what you're showing me, because my friends don't believe you." So instantaneously, within a second of that thought, what I was watching totally disappeared, and a totally new object replaced it. The new object was comprised of, I would say, maybe less than 100 large orbs, like the size of a Volkswagen, that were blinking on and off, on and off. So these were lights. And so it would be on, off, on, off, on, off. And these were huge objects, and they weren't far away. Like I said, this object was, the bottom of it was 30 feet on top of us. It was like 100 meters tall, and it went back like 600 meters. And then these orbs would take turns powering up to get very, very big, and then they would get small again. And then another one in another area would get big and then get small again. And so this is what we were all watching. So immediately my friends stopped trying to explain it away, because what they were watching now was totally, totally different. And that's something that you just can't explain away, you know? And so that's when I realized, I said, "Oh my God, you know, this intelligence behind this phenomenon read my thoughts and totally changed the screen appearance of what we were watching." And also a friend of mine, Dr. Joseph Burks, who's a retired medical doctor, he's had very similar experiences. He's been started calling down these CEPs, consciousness aerial phenomenon, since 1972. And one time he told me, the very first year, that he would see these lights in the sky, you know, what people typically see with these UFO phenomenon. And then like two or three sightings later, he saw this plane that looked like a wooden plane, vintage, like World War I plane, very old, painted in bright red, and it had no noise to it. It was going very slowly, you know, above him. It didn't have any propellers on it and no pilots. And it was very close to the ground, so he could see it. So he said, this cannot be an airplane because the wings were tiny, tiny wings. It was like, looked like made out of wood and bright red with no noise. It was like right on top of him. And so he immediately knew then that that was also a holographic projection. So from then on, he understood that the UAPs or the UFOs or what I call CAPs, the consciousness aerial phenomenon that he had been calling down, were projections, holographic projections. And there's numerous other examples that I could give, but basically I would recommend people to read the free book, which I'm going to send you, that discusses that in detail.
Now, all of those experiences, those early experiences, led your life to be changed and it broadened your perspective. And you co-founded the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Free Foundation. Tell us about the work of the foundation.
Yeah, this was an academic research institute. It was co-founded by the late Apollo astronaut, Dr. Edgar Mitchell. Edgar's also, I think more importantly, should be known as being the founder of the Institute for Noetic Sciences. And that's the world's number one institute that researches the science behind ESP. And in 1974, Edgar wrote a 700-page book titled Psychic Exploration. And it's all about what is commonly called nowadays parapsychology and the paranormal, the relationship between parapsychology and the paranormal. So Edgar was interested in all these topics, you know, since 1974. The other co-founders were a retired professor of astrophysics from Harvard University. He taught there for 45 years. His name is Dr. Rudy Shield. And a UFO contactee researcher from Australia named Mary Rodwell. We eventually brought in close to 10 PhD academics and 8 additional researchers of UFO contact experiencers. And let me just go over the non-academic researchers. One was Kathleen Martin, another was Barbara Lamb, and another was Dr. Leo Sprinkle. So these were, you know, the cream of the crop, together with Mary Rodwell, of people that had studied UFO contact experiences. And then some of the academics we had, Dr. John Klimo, who taught psychology for over 45 years, and his specialty was academic research, and also consciousness and the paranormal. And we also had a PhD, retired PhD professor of neuroscience, a professor of the brain, Dr. Bob Davis. And we had many other PhDs. And so what we did is, over a five-year period, we undertook the world's first and only comprehensive academic research study of UFO contact experiencers. Okay? We developed 3 surveys, and we administered the survey in separate languages, 5 different languages. In the English language alone, we had responses from more than 4,300 individuals from over 125 countries. So these were huge samples from diverse populations, 125 countries all over the world. And the findings that we got totally contradict what is circulating in ufology today. So I don't know if you want me to very briefly go over some of these findings.
Yes, this generated the book Beyond UFOs, The Science of Consciousness and Contact with Non-Human Intelligence.
It's an 820-page book, and I will give you chapters 1 and 2, which are the academic portions of our book. It analyzes the statistical data. So in that email that you send me, I'll send you those chapters for free. It's over 300 pages, and it's an analysis of the data. So very, very briefly, there's tons of research data and research findings from our book. But in summary, initially, 37% of these individuals viewed their experiences as negative. But over time, the overwhelming majority of these individuals had additional contact experiences. So many years later, after having many experiences, only 4% viewed their experiences as negative. As an example, 40% of these individuals had 20 or more contact experiences. Between 10 to 20 was 20%. So you had 60% of these people having between 10 or more contact experiences. And so the more experiences you had, the more positive was your response. The other thing we discovered was that what is commonly called abductions, that was only one third of the people had what is commonly called an abduction. And of those abductions, only 8% viewed their experiences as negative in the long term. Also, we discovered that these abduction experiences can be categorized as out-of-body experiences, because what we discovered was that the overwhelming majority of these experiences, while people saw a physical being, like you saw a ghost and a spirit, you know, of your deceased grandmother in front of you, and while you saw a UFO physically, the overwhelming 95% of the experiences that these people were having were in the paranormal category. They were having out-of-body experiences. They were having near-death experiences. They were seeing deceased people, or they were being brought to other multidimensional realities. They were getting telepathic messages. All of what is commonly called the paranormal, the overwhelming majority of these individuals that were having these UFO contact experiences were having these types of paranormal contact experiences, which we called in our book, Beyond UFOs, the contact modalities. So the other thing we discovered was that these experiences, just like the phenomenon of out-of-body experiences, near-death experiences, seeing ghosts and spirits, they involve a manipulation of space-time. Why? Because 50% of these people were being brought to other realities. One example, which I'll just talk about very, very briefly, was I was driving my car to go to work one morning at 8:30 in the morning, and then all of a sudden, I was not in my car in the middle of a traffic jam. I was now in another reality where they were giving me lessons about the nature of our reality. This non-physical intelligence was showing me all of the contact modalities. And interesting was that within 48 hours of that experience, I was introduced to Mary Rodwell, Rudy Shields, and Edgar Mitchell. But that takes a very lengthy explanation. I'd rather concentrate most of my time discussing the mind of God.
Absolutely. We're going to be talking about the mind of God in our next segment. My guest is Ray Hernandez. His new book is entitled The Mind of God, a spiritual virtual reality model of consciousness and the contact modalities. Ray, please tell our listeners where they can get the book and your free offer and all about your website.
Yes. First of all, our website, which is still being developed, but you can get an idea of this new organization titled the Consciousness and Contact Research Institute. The website is agreaterreality.com, agreaterreality.com. Our email, and send me an email and I will send you literally 300 pages of the book Beyond UFOs, and also the entire book, The Mind of God. And my send me an email to info@agreaterreality.com. So that's info@agreaterreality.com.
And we'll be back with more of Ray and the Mind of God after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Ray Hernandez. His book, The Mind of God, a spiritual virtual reality model of consciousness and the contact modalities. Ray, the last time you were on, we had a brief discussion about some of my early experiences. I mentioned that my first conscious experience was when I was 5 years old, and I did not have what people called a frightening abduction. I had what I called night school, where my teachers, my special teachers, would take me and teach me things that I had no other source for growing up in the 1950s at 5 years of age. And then when I was 7 years old, I was very close to my paternal grandfather, and I was in my room one day looking at something in a book, and I looked up, and he was standing there. And I said, "Grandpa, where did you come from?" And he didn't say a word. He just smiled and sort of disappeared. And then I went into the living room and I said to my parents, "Grandpa was here." And they said, "Oh, you're imagining things." And a couple of minutes later, the phone rang with word of my grandfather's passing. So are these common experiences that people have?
Extremely common. Both of those things that you mentioned are extremely common. Let me just talk about my own experience. As I mentioned a while ago, the old organization, the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Free Foundation, got started. It started with me having this out-of-body experience where I was brought to another reality. And this is when I was driving my car. I won't go into the details of it, but basically I was brought to this other reality where I appeared inside this huge, gigantic wheel, inside the fulcrum of the wheel. And inside was in each separate spoke of the wheel was like a video projection of each of the different contact modalities. And then I was being shown what each one was. And then I was also told telepathically that these are all different ways that humans are interacting with us, and that humans are perceiving them as separate and distinct phenomenon. But in fact, they were all one phenomenon. They were not separate. And there was much more associated with that, but I just wanted the listeners to get a very brief summary of it. And then I was told, "You need to inform humanity of the relationship between us, the spirit world, and consciousness." Now, at that point, I had no idea what the hell they were saying. You know, later on, I would find out. But I then reappeared back in my car. The experience seemed to last 25 minutes to half an hour. But I was taken outside of space-time because it didn't even skip a second, because I was in the same exact place of when I was taken out from my car. And then the interesting part was not that experience. The interesting part was what happened immediately afterwards. I went to work that morning, and I just couldn't do any work because my whole thoughts were on that experience. And I was like still freaking out. So I left work early that afternoon. And when I got home, I got an email from Mary Rodwell. Mary Rodwell is a major researcher of the UFO contactee phenomenon. She's in Australia. She's been working with UFO contact experiences for close to 35 years, almost 40 years. I had sent her an email 6 months ago. So here was her email saying, "Ray, I'm sorry I'm responding to an email that you had sent 6 months ago, but it just popped up on my computer today, the same day of my experience." So then I responded back to her. I said, "Well, this is all the crazy stuff that's happened in the last 6 months, and this is what happened today." So eventually she responded back to me later that evening, and we wound up talking to like 1:30 in the morning. And then I told her, I said, "Look, Mary, I got to go to work. You know, it's 1:30 in the morning here in Miami." And then the very next day I got a phone call at 9:30 in the morning. "Hello, is this Ray Hernandez?" I said, "Yes, who's this?" "Dr. Rudy Shields." I go, "Who?" I had no idea who this man was. He's a retired professor of Harvard Department of Astrophysics. He had been working with Mary on individuals that had gotten downloads of consciousness or advanced physics or mathematics. And so I had gotten all of that. And so he was calling me because Mary had sent him an email. We spoke for like 90 minutes. We had a very lengthy, detailed conversation. And then he told me what you received, Ray, was Dr. Edgar Mitchell's theory of consciousness and the quantum hologram. And then he began to explain what that was. And then he gave me Dr. Edgar Mitchell's telephone number. And I knew who Edgar Mitchell was. I was very reluctant to give him a call But 4 hours later, I gave him a call. Edgar Mitchell picked up the phone, and he said that he and Dr. Rudy Shields had an extensive conversation about my experiences, and he invited me to his house the very next day. So basically, within 48 hours of that initial experience, I was at the home of Dr. Edgar Mitchell. I had met Mary Rodwell, Rudy Shield, and then Edgar Mitchell at his home. And he was the one that suggested about forming an organization to implement the information I received. And so that's where the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Free Foundation got started. So people have to understand that these were orchestrated events. You know, these are experiences that occur outside of space-time by like some type of unknown intelligence that's orchestrating, you know, your life. And just like the near-death experiencers, you know, the information that they receive of what is their mission here on Earth, they're shown past lives, they're shown reasons why they need to go back when they're told, look, you know, you need to go back. Nobody wants to go back here, okay? And so they're told, no, you need to go back. And then the hesitant ones are shown their future of why they need to go back. Or they're showing, you know, their mother crying in the hospital room, things of that sort. So this is an intelligence that's outside of space-time. And the way to get a proper understanding of this phenomenon is that you really need to become extremely knowledgeable about what I call all of the contact modalities, you know, near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, astral travel experiences, which are very different from out-of-body experiences, the whole UFO phenomenon, spirit, you know, ghost communications, the sighting of deceased people, you know, post-death communications, the topic of reincarnation, the psi phenomenon, remote viewing, psychedelic journeys, you know, all of these phenomena involve a manipulation of space-time, and they're all interrelated. And so that's what my book, The Mind of God, is all about. Now, the difficulty that a lot of people have with, you know, what I wrote about in my book is that people are filtering their reality through our five senses, you know, seeing, smelling, hearing, taste, and touch. And so that is their conception of reality. But once you have an out-of-body experience or an astral travel experience, once you have a near-death experience, once you're able to do remote viewing, once you're able to see the future, you know, through ESP, precognitive events, then you realize that you are outside your physical reality, that your greater reality is beyond your physical reality. And so a lot of people have difficulty with that, especially the people who have never had these experiences. Someone that's had a near-death experience or an out-of-body experience, to them is like, of course, I'm not just a physical being. I'm much more complicated than that. But for the people that haven't had these experiences, it's very difficult for them to digest it. So one way that I explained it in my book is very, very common phenomenon, which is what you described earlier. These are post-death communications. And very, very common is seeing the ghost in a physical form of a deceased relative. And that usually happens, you know, the same day after someone dies. And so I used that as an example in my book. I said, if you see your Aunt Sally in her favorite Sunday dress in your living room, is your Aunt Sally real or not real? Now, in a sense, you buried her 2 days ago and you were at her funeral, but yet now you're seeing her. So to the answer to that question is both. She's both physically real and non-physically real, because people are interacting with this consciousness-based phenomenon. Same thing with the UFOs, okay? When people are interacting with these UFOs and they're seeing these beings, what we realize is that people are seeing tens of thousands of different types of physical beings. So then comes the questions. Are these tens of thousands of physical beings coming from tens of thousands of different physical planets? Or is this something a little bit more complicated? Okay. The two major UFO researchers in our time have been J. Allen Hynek and Dr. Jacques Vallée. and Hynek towards the last years of his life. And Jacques Vallée, pretty much since the mid-70s, they've been espousing that the UFO phenomenon is not a physical phenomenon. These are not ETs, ETs coming from a physical planet, that these are consciousness-based experiences. Okay? But yet the field of materialist ufology have totally ostracized these hypotheses of J. Allen Hynek and Jacques Vallée. They rather investigate the early J. Allen Hynek, where he was investigating physical sightings of UFOs, okay? Or Vallée's, you know, writings on the physical aspects of the phenomenon. But that's something that always puzzled both of these researchers, that these experiences have a physical aspect of it and they have a psyche aspect of it, okay? Now, if you see it through the lens of your Aunt Sally, that this is both a physical aspect, you're seeing a physical form of a ghost or a spirit or a deceased person, you know, your Aunt Sally right in front of you in your living room, but yet physically your Aunt Sally's dead. That's a proper way of beginning to understand all of these contact modalities, that there's a physical aspect of it, but in essence, the underlining nature of it is the non-physical aspect, the psyche aspect, the consciousness aspect of it. So that's sort of like a little introduction to my book. And if you like, I would like to go into some of the details of it if I can.
Actually, I wanted to ask you first the title, yeah. The Mind of God. Where did you get that from?
Well, what I do is I discuss in the beginning of my book the whole history of in philosophy what is called idealism. Okay, idealism is a concept that of a greater reality. Okay, that there is a unified mind behind all of our greater reality, and these concepts are ancient concepts. These are concepts of, you know, the shamanic tradition, known with, you know, with all of the early cultures, whether you're in South America, where you're in Asia, where you're in the Middle East, Africa, whatever. And then it became to be appearing in written form in the Vedanta tradition, the Upanishads, okay? You know, more than 6,000 years ago, they appeared in writing, the same concept of the one mind, of the universal mind, of the mind of God. And then the Buddhist tradition, the Egyptian tradition, the Greek and Roman tradition have written about these concepts, and these concepts discuss the tradition that our reality, like for example Plato's allegory of the cave analogy, okay, where in that story was written to for you to be able to begin to understand that our physical reality is an illusion. And these are the same concepts in the Upanishads, you know, where they came up with the term Maya, you know, that our physical reality is an illusion, that there's something more complicated behind it, okay? And so what it is that there's a universal mind behind all of this phenomenon. If you think of the near-death experience, one out of every four people that has an NDE has what is called a life review. And that is usually shown via this energy being that people are interacting with. For some people, they see it as Jesus Christ. Other people see it as, you know, other religious figures, you know, from other traditions. But the vast majority, as per the NDE researchers, they have stated that this life review is being conducted by an energy being, okay? So this energy being shows your life, the good things you've done in your life and the bad things. Not to be able to judge you, to send you to hell or heaven. No, you are the one that are judging yourself. So what you're shown an experience and then you're basically told, well, what did you learn from that? How could you have done this thing differently, okay? And then So this is an intelligence that's able to store all the holographic memories of your life, okay? And reshown it back to your individuated unit of consciousness, okay? And also, they're able to show you the future. And many people that have a near-death experience, they're shown their future. Many people have astral travel experiences. They're being shown the future and the past. Many people have these UFO contact experiences. They're being shown their past and the future as well. So all of these experiences, most of the contact modalities, involve being shown the past, the present, and the future events. Okay. So does that answer your question a little bit?
And it seems to me that what you share in this book, The Mind of God, needs to be disseminated in our world, especially now. And you refer to this as the Kundalini awakening of humanity. Please explain.
Yes. There's a reason why the book starts off where I go over all the different sections of my 4-volume book titled The Greater Reality. Volumes 1 and Volume 2 are theoretical in nature, written by academics and medical doctors. And in that section, I discuss the topic that of the primacy of consciousness, that consciousness is fundamental, and that all of the contact modalities, all of what we call the paranormal, that they're all subsets within consciousness, okay? And they need to be studied as one integrated phenomenon. Then I go into the topic. We have various articles on the primacy of consciousness. And then we go into various articles by written academics primarily academics and medical doctors that talk about the topic of non-local consciousness, telepathy, and the contact modalities. That means how we as physical human beings are able to access this information. And Edgar Mitchell called it non-local consciousness, where we're able to extract information from what he called the quantum hologram, and it's commonly known as the Akashic Records. And so we have an article in there by Dr. Edgar Mitchell, which is a very difficult article to understand, you know, because it's couched in physics terminology, but you don't have to be a physicist to understand it. It's just that it's a very complicated concepts. And we also have a whole section on near-death experiences and the survival of human consciousness. We have another separate section on out-of-body experiences, astral travel, and remote viewing. We have another section on lucid dreams. Then we have another section on ghosts and spirits and the spiritual transformation that takes place from people that interact with the contact modalities. Then we have another section on entheogenic research. And that is psilocybin, magic mushrooms, you know, DMT, ayahuasca, the psychedelic experiences that people are having. And the article that we have in this section is written by a professor of the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. And he associates psychedelic experiences to a near-death experience. Okay. And then we have another section, 11 articles on the UFO phenomenon, associating UFOs to consciousness. And then we have five conclusionary articles, chapters, which are like wraparound chapters, which brings all the pieces together. So what I just mentioned is 2 volumes. They're approximately 1,600 pages. They have over 45 academic articles. Okay. Now, volumes 3 and 4 are chapters written by major experiencers, people that have had, you know, major events throughout their lives, not just, you know, seeing UFOs or not just only out of body experiences. No, these are people that have had seen UFOs. They've had out of body experiences. They've had near death experiences. They've seen deceased ghosts and spirits, you know, et cetera, throughout their lives. And so so it's their detail of their experiences, and that's 2 volumes. Again, each of these volumes is 600 pages each. And then I talk about my own experiences, and that's 15 pages worth, where I give the people my own experiences, how it evolved, how it developed. And then I start this section, The Kundalini Awakening of Humanity. And that section is why this is happening now. And the reason why it's happening now is because we have reached the point of self-destruction of our reality, either ecological self-destruction, nuclear self-destruction, the increasing economic, social, and political inequality of our world, and the lack of unity in spiritual and spirituality promotes division. And these four arguments that I pose in there could potentially lead to the self-destruction of human beings. So that's why all of these experiences are happening now. Before 1970, no one knew what a near-death experience was. Before 1970, almost nobody knew about the UFO contact phenomena. Before the 1970, almost no one knew about the out-of-body experience phenomena. Now these concepts are known all throughout the world. You could be in China and you talk about near-death experiences, people know what it is. You could be in India, you talk about UFOs, they know what it is. Okay, you could be in some part of Latin America, you talk about out-of-body experiences, you know, people know what that is. So, and then after the Kundalini Awakening of Humanity, I have a section titled, What is Consciousness? And that's an introduction to the topic of consciousness. And I talk about what the early quantum physicists, it was like the vast majority of these pioneers of quantum physics, they all knew that consciousness was fundamental. And we have numerous quotes from these individuals. Same thing with numerous Nobel Prize winners in physiology and science. Again, these were individuals that understood that consciousness was fundamental, not our physical reality.
My guest this week, Ray Hernandez, his new book, The Mind of God, a spiritual virtual reality model of consciousness and the contact modalities. We'll be back with more of Ray after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Ray Hernandez, his book, The Mind of God, a spiritual virtual reality model of consciousness and the contact modalities. Ray, what else can listeners find in that book?
Well, I haven't spoken about half of the book, but since we only have 6 minutes left, I'll go very, very quickly of it. I have an entire section that's close to 100 pages, and that discusses the commonalities of the contact modalities. And I explained earlier the contact modalities, all of what is commonly described as the paranormal. So first one is I'm not going to go into details, but I'll just read the headings. The first one is they all involve a manipulation of space-time. All of them involve the travel of human consciousness and non-human consciousness, okay, among different astral realms. Number three, contact with a perceived non-human intelligence. All of them involve contact with a perceived non-human intelligence. Then there's the topic of telepathic communications, and this communications is in one's native language. If you're a French person, it happens in French. If you're Spanish speaking, it happens in Spanish, et cetera, et cetera. Secondly, is that these experiences involve human initiated contact, and that these experiences involve holographic projections. Another one is that the after effects trigger additional paranormal experiences. You see your first UFO, all of a sudden, you're going out of your body, you know? Same thing, if you go out of your body, later on, you're going to see a UFO, you'll see a deceased person. So each of these experiences triggers additional different paranormal experiences. Also, all of these contact modalities involve medical healings, miraculous medical healings. Another topic, visions of the future and of the past. They all involve being shown visions of the future and the past. Also, These experiences result in a complete personality and worldview transformation of the individual. A shame we don't have a lot of time for that, but once you begin to have these experiences, you're not the same person. You become much more spiritual. You become less materialistic, okay? And numerous other changes. The other thing is you become spiritually enlightened, and you begin to understand that there is a concept behind it. Some call it God. Some call it the universal mind. Some call it the mind of God, but that these are orchestrated events, okay? And then the last topic I talk about is the importance of love, okay? Because in NDEs, what people are told after they're told that they got a return is that they need to learn how to love. That's the most important message from the near-death experience. And that was in the chapters on NDEs that I presented. Okay, so I'm not saying it. It's the leading NDE researchers are saying this. Same thing with our research data from Beyond UFOs. Okay, the concept of spirituality and love were probably the most important concepts that these people were taught. And same thing with out-of-body experiences, with astral travel experiences, et cetera, et cetera. The concept of love is extremely important. Then I pose different questions for future research of the contact modalities. We really have no data, a cross-comparative research study of the contact modalities, and that's needed from academic perspective. And then I go into the topic how the human soul is able to travel among diverse hierarchies, diverse astral planes. For example, if you're having an out-of-body experience, your consciousness leaves your four-dimensional reality, also involving a space-time, and you go into like what I call the fifth dimension, where you're outside of your physical reality, but yet you are interacting with your physical reality underneath you. And that's the out-of-body experience. And then the astral travel experiencers, these are individuals that even go further to these hierarchies above where the astral travel experiences take place. And these are higher astral travel hierarchies. And then in this phenomenon, the astral travel experience resembles very much a near-death experience where you can manifest realities. You can manifest intelligences. So it's a hierarchy of manifestation where there's almost an infinite number of realities that these major astral travel experiencers have. And then it also works with non-human intelligence. As we talked about, you know, Aunt Sally coming down to say goodbye to you. Okay. So you could also think of it is that once your Aunt Sally dies, she's with the universal mind of God. She's traveled all the way up the astral plane to the highest level, but yet she then comes back. The consciousness of your Aunt Sally comes back to our 4D physical plane to briefly show you that she's okay. Okay. So non-human intelligence can also travel up and travel back down. Same thing with human consciousness. And then the last graphic that I depict here of the traveling, the migration of the human soul is reincarnation. And I discuss the academic literature of reincarnation. I discuss how reincarnation was discussed in ancient India, ancient Greece, the Jewish Kabbalist tradition, and then the academic tradition of Dr. Ian Stevenson and Dr. Jim Tucker, who pretty much two of the major pioneers that have written about reincarnation at the University of Virginia. And so that's what the book, The Mind of God, is all about. It has two basic themes, two basic hypotheses. One is that consciousness is primary. And secondly, all of what we called at the Consciousness and Contact Research Institute is that all of the contact modalities need to be studied as one integrated phenomenon under consciousness. And again, to get a better understanding of it, send me an email and I'll send you for free my 200-page book, The Mind of God, a spiritual virtual reality model of consciousness and the contact modalities. And my email is info@agreaterreality.com. And if you want to learn more about the Consciousness and Contact Research Institute and about our four-volume book series titled A Greater Reality, check our website. And the website is agreaterreality.com.
Ray, my gratitude to you on behalf of our listeners and myself for your generosity of spirit and all of this amazing and wonderful and necessary information that you're offering to our listeners for free. I can tell you that reading your book was a confirmation of everything that I've experienced in my life and a recognition that in our world today, we need to learn about this and also learn that very, very special lesson to love one another. Thank you so much for this.
You're very welcome, Victor. And I just want to end by saying that these are not easy concepts to digest, okay? But yet, these are concepts that all of our ancient masters in all of these different traditions have been teaching us for thousands of years. And so you need to have an open mind as you read this book.
Absolutely. Ray, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your generosity of spirit and wisdom.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor, the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.